Games in this podcast range from E to M.
Hello, and welcome to the official Xbox podcast, the only podcast coming to you from inside the walls here at Xbox, coming to you on YouTube and all kinds of Spotify podcasts, any place you listen to a podcast. I personally listen to Spotify. It's good.
Same.
I don't know if you've heard of it. It's great. We've got a full crew of dark jeans wearing people
it's
today.
True. I didn't notice that. We did not coordinate this.
Yeah, black jeans or infrared shoes get you in the door. In terms of just show up here and we'll let you in. Tina, it's really great to see you. You've had a busy week, haven't you?
I have been busy. I was going to make the joke of when you were like, oh, there's a big show. I was like, what? But then you ruined my joke.
Oh, well, that's what I do.
You got to redo the podcast.
Yeah, all right, we'll just dial it back. So you produced the partner preview this week, right?
Yes, this was the second ever partner preview, so super exciting. I saw a few people. So we are recording this before the show has actually gone live, so I have no idea what people are going to think.
But you don't even know what's in it.
I don't even know what's in it. What did I produce? There we go. I got my joke in. I did see people reacting to the announcement, and I was really thrilled to get the impression that people are excited that they weren't expecting one so soon. But that was definitely my goal. There's so many games out there. We talk about them every week on this podcast. So why not have like a little bit more of a momentous occasion? Not that podcasts aren't momentous, but a little more flair.
Depends on the podcast.
It depends on the week and where we're at. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, just such a good opportunity to, you know, shine a light on how many amazing third-party partners we work with and how many amazing games are out there that we get to kind of curate for the show to figure an experience that everyone can kind of find something that they like out of the lineup.
And even a few things that you can play right now. But we're going to deep dive into those as this show proceeds. First of all, let's head on over here to the cheese couch. Ethan Rothamel. This is the first time we've been on the show together.
It is. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever been on a show together now that I think about it.
Maybe, no, I've been avoiding you pretty successfully for the last decade or so.
Yeah, as soon as Malik's gone, it's like there's no barrier between us.
So. I mean, we almost thought you guys were the same person. You never show up in the same space.
He has glasses.
It's true.
Exactly. Thank you, Kelly.
Holy crap. Wow. Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me. Great to be on the show. I think my first time on was maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
no,
it didn't bore everyone enough. I guess they decided to have me back.
I liked it. Yeah. You were great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. But so,
that's sweet.
It's good to have a familiar face here. Kelly Lombardi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me during Xbox Podcast Emo Week. it was great to have an excuse to break out the black skinny jeans again, but yeah, happy to be here.
We're setting the clocks forward this weekend, so I feel like we're going to come out of the big dark, as they call it, here in Seattle.
Yes. This is the last week I get to be emo, and then I have to move on.
I'm ready, though. It's been a real downer. This weather has been tough, so I'm ready to move on.
Cherry blossoms are already coming out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine.
We'll come back. The weather segment is actually later. We do weather on the ones here. Okay. So,
Kelly, good to know.
You've been coping. We were talking about this, you know, this time of year, sometimes it's sort of like, and you found a great game on Game Pass that has been sort of helping you through, you know, bring a little order to the chaos of life.
Yeah, I think I had said, since my life is in shambles, all I can really wrap my head around.
I didn't want to say that, but you can say it.
It's relatable. But no, I have been playing on A Little to the Left on Game Pass, and it's basically just a game where you take things and put them places, and everything makes like very satisfying sounds, and like when everything lines up, like it's just, it brings order to the chaos in my life, and it is just so much fun to play through. And then they also have a DLC that you can buy.
Which has like the cutest name, right?
Cupboards and Drawers.
Oh, that's cute.
And
they knew their audience.
Yeah. Highly recommend checking it out. It's not a super long game, but it's really fun to play. And if you like just, you know, putting things places and seeing things line up, and some of the puzzles have more than one way to solve them.
Oh, cool.
So you might like color code something, and then you see that there's actually two additional ways to organize them. And it kind of makes you change your thinking a little bit of like, oh, my instinct was to do this, but there's other ways that you could look at it where like the labels line up, or, you know, I don't want to spoil. No spoilers for the organizer.
It was the green pencil.
It's totally true though, because even with like records or movies, when people used to actually collect physical copies of this thing, like what was your organization method? Do you go alphabetically? Do you go by director? Do you go by genre?
Autobiographical?
Or do you go by like Yeah, oh, or do you go yeah. like the color coding of the spine that you see yep. visually? Like yeah. everyone's got a different tactic.
You guys are dorks.
This is the game for you.
All right, how's the music though? How's the music? Is it pretty
oh,
good?
It's so relaxing. Yeah. It's yeah. like a little like tinkly kind of like doo 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 doo.
Nice.
It's nothing like that. But no, because I don't want to spoil it. Gosh, yeah, okay, stop sorry, pressuring me.
Kelly actually produced and recorded the soundtrack.
yeah. It's just me going boop 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 doo 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 doo.
So zen. So zen.
Hire me if for all your voice acting needs.
Pretty good, yeah.
That's music I can sort of pencil to.
Yeah.
But yeah, highly recommend. So Tina, check it out when you're done playing.
Like a Dragon.
It's going to take me a minute.
I know. Did you
nice.
Like that?
Yeah, check it out.
And we've talked about Like a Dragon a bit, so I'm not as far as... You finished it at this point,
I did,
surely.
84 okay. hours.
Yeah, wow. So I think yeah. I probably have another 80 left. No, I think I'm about like wow. maybe 10 hours in. I'm on chapter 5. So my understanding is it's very much opening up to me at this point, mm-hmm. Which I'm very appreciative of, because I just, any amount of time spent in this world and 70, 60 more hours of it, I am very prepared for.
I should Love say, it. Don't let my like hour count intimidate you.
Oh, I'm doing every side quest.
Okay,
too.
Never mind. It'll take you that long. Yeah. You could blow through the game in half that time, but I yeah. really wanted to see everything, and I wanted Same. To explore all the jobs. There's some really fun jobs out there. I even went and got some of the DLC ones, turning Ichiban into a linebacker, Amazing. And you're doing, and like one of his ults is like marching through the field with you know, the cheerleader group at halftime, and they're like, you know, doing high kicks and like whacking these gangsters.
It's so goofy.
It's so ridiculous.
The amount of like animations and costumes and just obviously like, you know, the actual skill set that you get alongside every job. Like mm-hmm. there's just so much put into it and it's so enjoyable. I just swapped to Action Star. So I've got this like, you know, yellow, bright yellow Kill Bill style, Bruce Lee style, like jumpsuit kind of a get up. Mm-hmm.
And it's using just, the nunchucks.
Yeah, the nunchucks as well. And it's so fun to experiment with, but it's also useful because sometimes in some games I get wary of, do I want to respec in this way? Mm-hmm. But with Infinite Wealth, you actually, with the series in general, you actually are stronger the more that you put into more jobs under each character. Exactly. So everything you do is very useful, very yep. worth your time.
And then you can bring the best skills from one job over yes. to another one. So,
exactly.
Like you said,
and experiment a little.
Yeah,
bit,
yeah. yeah. It's all right to be a jack of all trades in that game. Ethan, I saw you're on my friends list, mm-hmm. and I saw you playing a game that a lot of people are talking about,
yeah.
but I don't know how it works. Balatro.
Balatro. And I think that's how you yeah. pronounce it. Super addicting. And I will say, like, when I booted it up, I also was kind of like, what is this game? And I'm a fan of card games in general, deck building games. And I like poker especially. So it was kind of like, you know, this really called to me. And what it feels like is it almost feels like you're playing poker with the ability to, I want to say, like, cheat. Because you get these Joker cards that have abilities in them, and it behaves much like a roguelite, where it's like it's like how far in your run can you get, and you're basically just making poker hands. It's all poker hands and like terminology, but there's no like concept of betting. So it's basically like imagine the person you're going up against is like a boss, and you're trying to beat their blind, which is like a set number of chips, and so you're basically trying to combo your way up by like making these poker hands with the help of the jokers that you find. And just getting like the highest scoring hand. So it's hard to explain, but everyone I know that has jumped in, like within 15 minutes, they're like, oh, this is going to take over my life. And it is, it's like one more game. It's like any other roguelite where you're just like, I could do this again, one more run, I got time. And it's just completely taken over my life, especially now that you have, you know, touch controls on remote play. Like I can play it on my phone. I can lay on the couch and just like grind it for hours. Very, very much recommend. I think it's $15.
So this is an idea at Xbox game. Mm-hmm. And really, it just seems like a lot of people are streaming it. So
yeah.
I still am not exactly sure what it is.
Literally. And I don't know that I can explain it to you. Like it's so like, even when I was playing the tutorial, I was like, am I doing this right? But then within a couple hands, you like figure it out. Highly recommend folks go watch it. If it's interesting to you, it is like it's just so hard to explain, but it is basically like poker meets roguelike meets deck building. It's so fun.
Poker with a twist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it. And no betting whatsoever. Just beating bosses. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. I read that the developer like doesn't gamble. And so no, this is not another like Texas Hold'em game.
No.
So the cards might look familiar.
It's like more comparable to like a Slay the Spire or something, where you're like trying to beat a harder and harder challenges. Okay. And there's like curveballs they throw at you, where like maybe you can't use diamonds this hand, right? Like maybe face cards are worth twice as much, you know. And it's kind of just, I don't know how the guys came up with it, because it really is a creative game. Yeah.
It reminds me of like when you would play like a card game at like camp or something.
Yeah.
And one person was in charge of making up all the rules, and they'd be like, yeah, you can't use jacks this time. Yeah. And you'd be like, okay, yeah, Samantha.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like that. It kind of feels like that.
But it sounds fun.
Yeah.
I feel like all the card games in my camp just involve slapping each other. Like,
yeah.
That. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
Like Butterfinger, I think was one.
It was something. That was, if you like weren't fast spoons. Enough, you were getting slapped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for yeah. sure.
It was a Philly thing. I don't know.
Very simple, like one-to-one mechanics. Yeah.
So you were playing something else that was sort of a surprise drop for folks on Game Pass.
Yeah, exactly. My wife and I this weekend got super into Dead Island 2. We were kind of just looking for a new co-op game. We're both big RPG players, and we actually have an upcoming vacation to California. So we're like, oh, let's check out the digs. Let's see how LA does in a zombie apocalypse and see if it's comparable to what our vacation will be like. Mm-hmm. And we got totally sucked in. I mean, that game, it's like the perfect Game Pass game, because it's just hours of content, up to four of your friends, multiple characters that are all fully voiced and have different builds, like tanks versus DPS versus support, so you can replay. The dialogue is funny and cheesy at times, but really entertaining. The cutscenes, the boss fights, they're all like tied to some great musical compositions and some like legitimate songs that just make it fun. Like it's probably one of the most fun zombie games I've played in a while, and I mean that by like drop kicking zombies, the variety at which you can slaughter these guys. I've been playing a lot of cozy games. We just talked about the Seattle Garden. Yeah. This is like the polar opposite of that. It is gruesome, so be prepared for that. Like every time you hit a zombie, if you hit them with a bat in the jaw, you're going to break their jaw. Like their arms are going to go limp when you break their arms. Like it is visceral, but very funny and very entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, broken jaws.
Yeah, so
fun.
Spice
of
life.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
We'll be talking about a lot more Game Pass games, including those that were just announced this week that are coming out over the course of March. There's some really good ones coming down the line. We're also, our good friend Malik is speaking with the WWE 2K24 team, I want to say. So that's coming up in a little bit. But the big news this week, of course, has been the partner preview. So where do we want to start? There was some games. There's one specifically that I was really excited to learn. What is this game? And that was Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. What can you tell me?
Yes, so that was really exciting because we debuted the reveal trailer last year at the June showcase and then got a really much deeper dive into what the actual mechanics look like. Because I think you got a really good understanding of, wow, this looks gorgeous and it looks like there's some like interesting combat elements, but how does that actually play out? What are some of the other mechanics around the game? And ultimately, we got to see at the partner preview the concept of the day-night cycle and how that works out into the combat at the end of the day. So you're sort of rescuing these villagers, you know, bring them as part of your party and assigning them different roles, building out these structures and preparing in the day for the nighttime, like big boss level style enemy battles. So it was really fun to be able to debut like, hey, this is what this game is in more of a fully fleshed out way. I believe Capcom is going to be diving in even deeper. If this is going live on Thursday, if this is a Thursday, then their show is actually later today at 3 p.m. PT time if you're on the West Coast like we are. So we'll hopefully get to see even more about how all those systems kind of intertwine and maybe a little more context on what we got to see.
We also have a blog post on Xbox Wire, that's news.xbox.com, where Capcom explained it. And it was like, in terms of just like the quick, like, what is this game? It's got in those periods of time at night where you're actually fighting off these evil spirits or demons. It's both a combination of action and real-time strategy. So you're in there actually doing this sort of like dancing martial art, but then also directing those villagers, and you can even reassign them using these masks. Mm-hmm. What are their different roles going to be? So it seems like it has a very interesting look to it. Mm-hmm. We were talking before the show, like just sort of the aesthetics almost reminded me of that part in Elden Ring where you go up on this hill and there's this creepy village of like people dancing. I did not like that area.
No.
Very much disconcerted me. This looks much more colorful, but they were just like sort of like, there's a lot of like mystery here and I'm really eager to learn more. So like you said, Capcom highlights, they're doing a multi-day stream, but the day one is today, March 7th, 3 p.m. Pacific time. So you can head on over to, I guess, Capcom, head over to their social channels. I'm sure it'll be on Twitch and YouTube as well. And you can find out about that. Do you have a favorite game coming out of this partner preview? Anything you all want to talk about?
You want to go first, Kim?
No, you can go first.
For me, you know, they obviously didn't see a ton of it, but Sleight of Hand looks really cool. I mean, I loved, I believe they called it like a stealth game of like hard-boiled espionage action, mm-hmm. which is just like, what a cool tag, you know? I loved the cool, the cool maybe main character kind of smoking. She's like a witch. She throws out the cards and then she's, you know, using abilities with her cards. Like, just I'm already bought into the world. You know, I want to know where this takes place. I want to understand the setting. I want to know what kind of game this is. Like, is it deck building? Was we, you know, we talked about, I'm a little bit of a fan of, or what, you know, it seems like there's more to this game than that we're going to see down the road. So definitely really excited for it. The art style alone has got me hyped.
Very much so. It's a very unique aesthetic.
Yeah.
But also one of our new game reveals for the show. So I'm glad that stuck out to you and that there seems to be like little inklings of what's going on. Because it's the fun of brand new trailers for brand new games of like, what exactly is this?
And totally.
Who's the protagonist and what are the mechanics and what's the setting and what's my motivation and stuff. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll see in the future.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Kelly, now you're up. I know you were into Tales of Kinzarazal.
Yes, that one definitely got me, the Tales of Kinzara. Like, I saw it and I was watching the trailer and I was just so drawn to the aesthetic of it and the style. And then I think, I forget the exact phrase that was used, but it was something about needing precision and patience. And I was like, literally laughed out loud to myself. I was like, oh, that's not my strong suit, but I will be playing this anyway and be very bad at it. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it. So I think it's a beautiful game and I'm very excited to check it out. And I'm also very excited for the Creatures of Ava. That one also looked right up my alley with kind of befriending different creatures. Yeah. And
the flute was delightful in that trailer. Love that.
Get me some flute and some creatures and I'm
some belly rubs.
I'm sold. Yeah.
Like the belly rubs?
What more could you ask for in a game? But yeah, I think that's one that I'm excited to like learn more about where just kudos to you and the team, because I think that there was such a great mix of here's a game, here's everything about it. And then here's just like a little taste and you can learn more down the road. And I think that it was just really well done. There are games that I'm like, oh, I'm going to play that like right now. And then games that I'm like, I'm going to remember this for later because like definitely piquing my interest. So
I really appreciate that because we try to think about a balance of, because we have a core like group of people who work on the show and we think about from each of our personal perspectives, we're like, I'm personally really excited about the show. And if it does not make it into or about this game, and if it doesn't make it into the show, then I'm quitting immediately. It's never that intense.
You're still here, so that's
yes, exactly. So all my favorites made it in, obviously. No, but it's so interesting to talk to people with different perspectives because that's a reflection of our audience too, and we want to make sure the cozy games are in there, like the shooty games are in there, like things that strike at different types of people's core, and it helps with pacing of the show too.
Totally,
you know, we like to kind of tell you a story ultimately, you know, through the pacing and the how we kind of think about the structure of the show and
the format of these,
from one game to the other.
I love the format of these; they really are incredible. And we're not tooting our own horns because we're not on that team.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but that's
maybe a little, maybe a little. But I do like it. It is just like an awesome flow, like you said. It's great. It's intense games to casual to, and you get like a little bit of everything, and it's just back to back to back. Like it's so hype. Yeah. I love it.
I mean, to your point, as someone, I did nothing for the show other than watch it, and so I got to just see it as a fan. And I had no like deep emotional connections like I do with some of the stuff that gets produced.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I just watched it and I was just like, just fangirling a little bit as I went through. So just well done. Yeah.
Quick note about Tales of Kinzara and me fangirling actually is, this is, as I'm sure you know, there are many great video game podcasts out there, great number of great Xbox podcasts. And we usually go up around noon Pacific on Thursdays. Usually first thing in the morning, I end up listening to the Kind of Funny XCast and the creator, the executive producer of Tales of Kinzarazal. You've seen in a lot of different places, Abubakar Salem is actually on this episode of Kind of Funny XCast. So as soon as you're done here, go over there. I can listen to him talk all day.
Oh, seriously.
Incredible.
He narrated the asset too. Like you have a little bit of dialogue from the characters to set up some of that, you know, emotional storytelling that he talked about when he introduced the game at the Game Awards, but he actually narrates what some of the new features that you're diving into in the partner preview too. Cool.
And he's got a pretty extensive both acting career and voice acting career. And we have to talk to him at some point. You don't often see someone go from, you know, that sort of the talent, if you will, into like leading the development of a game. Mm-hmm. And so
and he's been incredible. So hands-on. He's done so many appearances, showed up at the Game Awards. Yep. Like, clearly like a real drive and passion for his own game, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see.
This is now an Abu Bakar fan cast.
Appreciation podcast.
All right. So since you were working on this, you know, for months, what are some of the games that you want to make sure people really notice, Tina?
There was a bunch of stuff, actually. We had a shadow drop, which if anyone noticed the very cheesy, hopefully not so cheesy, little shadow drop badge we added in too to add extra flair for the Stalker trilogy, the original Stalker trilogy that was on PC is on console for the first time. So that was, available today. So we definitely tried to add in some surprises as well as some deeper dives. So first Berserker Kazan like got a little bit more of a deep dive into it's very unique like anime kind of style, but also combat. So people have seen some clips of that game, but we wanted to dive in a little bit deeper. We had a couple release date announcements, which was fun. So Frostpunk 2 and Final Fantasy 14 kind of confirming on that front. And then I was really like intrigued personally by Unknown 9 Awakening because we had also known about that game's existence, but didn't quite know what the gameplay mechanics were there. And as a protagonist, you can kind of like take on your enemy's bodies and shoot their friends with their friend and then jump into the next one. And it was just very cool seeing that play out in the different environments and kind of overlaid with some of the narration so you can get a sense of what the story is too. So just jam-packed with a lot of like very different kind of games. And I was also really excited to get Roblox into the show in the form of like a Grief-Fill cross Chucky, like in-game expansion experience. And it was just so fun having an asset with Chucky in there.
You're such a horror fan.
And I also, and this is maybe bad to say, but I grew up with Chucky. So there's like a nostalgia element
to it as well.
That
explains the emo week for sure.
Yeah, so much, at least for today. But it was just very fun to like, you know, see him jumping on the characters' backs and just kind of flailing around with his knife and the Chucky like laughter. We had to definitely make sure that was played up. So it was just, it was really cool to see that in the show. Yeah.
I was not allowed to watch Chucky growing up.
Really?
I probably was not technically either, but somehow, you know.
There's things always like kind of sneak through and then it haunts you forever.
Forever.
Yes.
So, fear unlocked.
So a game that I've been playing just a ton of is Persona 3 Reload. This is my treadmill game right now because the day goes by and I'm like, I have not left the house today. So let me just like hop on the treadmill and like watch something or play something. And Persona 3 Reload has been that game. It's so good. And so I was super excited to see that there's a lot more coming. And so there's an expansion pass that was revealed here during this partner preview. And there's new outfits, there's new background music. Music, by the way, is just phenomenal in this game across the board. When you're playing a game for 80, 90 hours and you still love the music all the way through, there's like there's a certain skill to that. But the most important part is there's a episode Aegis. Mm-hmm. Aegis is a character who is like a essentially a robot, but there's more to it than that. And there's multiple versions we've talked about in the past of Persona 3. There's Persona 3, the original version, then there's Persona 3 Portable, and there was Persona 3 FES. And this brings in that expanded section called The Answer, Episode Aegis, from FES, which has not been available for a very long time, and brings it into Reload, which looks beautiful. It's an additional, it's dozens more hours, and it takes place sort of in the end game. So if you're enjoying the game now, continue to enjoy the game. And then come, I think it's several months down the line, when this comes out, you'll have a lot more to come back to. And the great part is this will be redeemable through Game Pass. So if you're a Game Pass Ultimate member, there's basically you unlock a perk and you can get this expansion pass that gets you some things now, some things later. So if you've been enjoying the game, and of course the entire game's on Game Pass, please download it, please play it. It'll make me happy.
When I saw that trailer pop up, I went, ooh, Jeff's going to be excited. So you are like so closely tied to Persona 3 for me.
Yes, you're not wrong. And when I found out, I would have bought it anyway, but when I found out I was in Game Pass, I was like, okay.
Even easier.
Yes. We had talked about a Capcom stream that is going on later today at 3 p.m. But even earlier than that at 2 p.m., We've talked a little bit about Towerborn over the course of the last year or so. I got to play it at Gamescom. It was really fun. But there's actually a stream where you're going to learn more about it at 2 p.m. today. So you're going to join Stoic Studio. They're kicking off a broadcast with a casual conversation, diving into the game design of Towerborn, including its unique and beautiful art direction and just stories from game development. So the stream's going to be hosted by the community strategist named Rybot01, digging into the origins of Towerborn and the transition from the Banner Saga trilogy, which was a great tactical RPG series, which is very, very different from what Towerborn is. So I'm really curious, like, you know, the development and the changes that they've made and the things they've learned and what they're going to be bringing into Towerborn.
Definitely see when we play that. There might be some artistic influence. It just kind of seems that way. Like when I watch them both, you know, and I was such a big fan of the Banner Saga, so I'm so hyped. I know we played a lot of Gamescom. We talked about it ad nauseum, I would say.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, that was a very grim game, whereas like Towerborn seems like very like light and airy, and I think that's going to be really fun. Mm-hmm. And just because we're sort of talking about the Banner Saga a little bit, I just want to make a shout out for a game that is coming out tomorrow, actually, and that is Unicorn Overlord. I talked about it a little bit last week. I've gotten to play another probably 10 hours of the full game, and let me tell you, this one's holding up. This is a really, really good game. The folks at Atlas and Sega have been just throwing RPG after RPG at us this year, and I'm here for it. Like, it is a phenomenal game. It's a mix of sort of Fire Emblem and Final Fantasy 12 and Tactics or Ogre Battle 64, and it's the first game from Vanillaware that's ever been out on Xbox. So if you love these types of games, you like RPGs, you like Japanese games, you like strategy games, you should support this game. So I'll leave it at that. There's a demo. Try it out. If you like what you're playing in the demo, all your progress carries over to the full game. So that's how they should do it.
Stacked couple weeks.
I mean, sold, especially with that last line. Yeah. I love a demo carrying over into my full game.
And it's a nice, meaty demo. So you will know by the end of the demo whether you want to keep playing it, and you're going to want to keep playing it. I can just tell you that from experience.
Throughout March, Xbox is celebrating Women's History Month and the contributions that women have made to gaming. One of the main things that we have going on is Microsoft Rewards. A lot of different ways to get Microsoft Rewards points, but you can earn and donate those points to a few different organizations that are supporting women with Xbox. And the organizations that will be featured this month are Women in Games International. They work to cultivate resources to normalize diversity in the games industry through increased representation and things like that. And then the second one is the National Center for Transgender Equality. So they advocate to change policies in society to increase understanding and acceptance of transgender people. So go ahead and, you know, use your points, donate
for play good games cause. And you earn them.
Like literally game and search for things on Bing and it's just great.
Gaming for good.
Another thing that we'll be doing is there will be a women's community games collection as part of the Xbox store. It'll feature women in powerful lead roles in games, teams that have women that have built games, things like that. And it's actually going to exist year round as part of our ongoing work to create more inclusive gaming ecosystems and elevate content that resonates with communities. So make sure you check that out. And last but not least, log into Halo.
Halo's
celebrating women as well in a very cool way. By logging into Halo Infinite this month, you'll unlock the Women's History Month armor coding, visor, and emblem suite, all based off Rosie the Riveter. So that, iconic poster. Make sure that you check that out. All really great stuff happening.
They did a really good job with that. One other game I want to call out, because actually right before we went live, I saw that they posted this, the MLB The Show team for 24 in their Road to the Show, which is sort of like their almost like baseball RPG that they have and is probably the most popular mode. For the first time, you can play as women athletes in MLB The Show, which is really cool. So great to see the work they put into it. That team, I mean, it's the best baseball game there is. So
that's awesome.
You can come at me on that one. And in fact, it was just confirming again, that game is coming to Game Pass, which is awesome. It's a day one Game Pass game. And that'll be coming out on March 19th. It's almost baseball season. I swear we're coming out of the winter. We're not going to be all wearing black a month from now. We're going to be, we're all going to be dressed like Ethan's shoes in just a couple of weeks.
I can't wait to get a tan, you guys.
Oh my gosh, Hawaiian week.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't tan. This is it. This is as good as it gets.
This is what you get.
Yeah. Or I go straight to red. But so let's talk about Game Pass, because there's so much to play and a bunch more games that were just announced. So first of all, Warhammer 40K Boltcon. They call this one Boomer Shooters, I feel like. Like, right? like pixelated.
Boomer Shooter, that's good.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't take full credit for it. It's a thing. Yeah. So you play as a Space Marine. It's a very 90s. And I mean, if you play like OG Doom, which is also in Game Pass, you kind of know what to expect. Sort of more modern, of course.
Right.
But anyway, Boltcon, we're checking out. Cool. And then you can't play that with the kids in the room, but that's what Paw Patrol World is for. These games, I've missed Paw Patrol, but I've got friends with young kids, and let me tell you, that is an empire. Like, that is like, it is on a level that I cannot comprehend. It is up there, and like you already know. You don't need me to tell you. If you've got a child of a certain age, go ahead and just download this and you're all set for
quite a drastic
quite some time.
Difference in games too between Warhammer and Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol for them, yeah. Warhammer for you.
Evening game, day,
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then we announced a bunch of new games that are going to be coming out. SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom. Ooh. Rehydrated is coming out on March 12th. Did you see the SpongeBob Xbox that we announced this week?
Yes.
Super limited version. Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you know. Are you like close to this?
I did not work on this one at all.
You didn't hand paint each.
Tragically, there's just too much hardware going through those doors. But it is sweet.
When we designed, and when I say we, I mean not anybody in this room, the Series X, like, I don't think we realized like quite how many things it would like perfectly lend itself to. I mean, a fridge, obviously. I do have a mini fridge at home, but it works perfectly for SpongeBob.
SpongeBob's another obvious choice. Mm-hmm.
So
the memes write themselves, truly.
Yeah.
So that'll be available only on Best Buy. We've never made, usually when we make these special edition Series X's or Series S's, I think that's a normal one. It's special too. But they've usually been away for giveaway. And we've never put any of these for sale. It's a very limited amount, but I don't know. It'd be cool to see if we're going to continue doing that or not.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, honestly.
Exactly. All right. You know what I loved? I love Control. Not like the idea of having control in my life.
This is
a bit of a train wreck segue, but we're going to go with it. But Control, the game made by Remedy, that was my favorite game of 2019.
Oh, it was.
We're either both wrong, and I'm fine being. If I'm as wrong as you, Tina, that's right enough for me.
I'll fact check it right now.
Yes. That was my favorite game of that year.
Yep, me too.
Absolutely phenomenal game. And Ultimate Edition is coming out on Game Pass March 13th. That is really soon on cloud console and PC. If you haven't played this game, or if you played Alan Wake 2 and you want to know like more about that world, this is a must-play game.
Like, so much crossover. And like actual like threads of the story, not just the universe.
So they're in the
characters.
Same world.
There was an Alan Wake expansion that was actually part of it. I believe that's
I
DLC
I think I heard
that also like threads the gaps between them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
so it's very intricate storytelling.
Can you play Control as a standalone?
Yes.
Asking for a friend that hasn't played any of the Alan Wake games.
Mm. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It is kind of its own, it's definitely its own contained story, but there are implications as to how,
and, I like when games
won't spoil it. Yes, exactly. And they are master mystery storytellers at Remedy. So it's just the sort of thing where you can absolutely play Control on its own. And that's another like awesome female lead character too. Yeah. So it's a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah, less of a horror game, although it's very creepy a lot of times, but
still
it's
counts.
Not so much. A lot of voices that I didn't love that part. But it's almost like if you were like running the X-Files, but you were the smoking man, I guess, but no smoking, which because smoking's bad for you. But really awesome game, and I'm just talking myself into playing through it again. No More Heroes 3, so this is a long-running series by Suda51, I want to say, that got to start on the Wii, and No More Heroes 3 is coming out on March 14th on cloud, console, and PC. Have you ever played one of the No More Heroes? Tell me about it, because I only know Travis Touchdown.
Yes, Travis Touchdown. He is the center of everything, and he kind of goes through these battles with like other famous, like strong, powerful leaders. And I actually, it's been too long. I have to replay now because I've lost the thread of like the core story outside of that, where he's just sort of battling and going up the ranks. But it's another one of those like really goofy experiences kind of on the level of like a Dead Island, like we've been talking about, or Infinite Wealth. So it's kind of a palate cleanser in that sense, I would say.
Yeah, he's armed with like a lightsaber-esque sort of weapon.
Yeah, yeah. He like, you know, does like a shake weight to charge it up, essentially. Like it's got a long-running joke series around that. Yeah.
And one last game announced as part of this March batch of Game Pass games, Lightyear Frontier.
Cozy.
It's coming into game preview. Yeah, this is a game that we've revealed about a year ago. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks like
Co-op
building a farm in space. I mean, what more could you want? It looks wholesome. It looks cozy. It looks like a lot of fun if you're into farming games or just something that's like more chill. I've been playing a lot of like farming sims lately, like Stardew Valley, Paleo. Oh, you should check it out.
Yeah. They might as well call it Kelly's Lightyear Frontier. I'm excited for that.
That'll be the extended version. DLC. There's still a game preview. I think they're still open to taking feedback.
The Kelly edition.
Okay, I'll write them a letter. I'll let them know my thoughts.
All right.
So many games.
A few others that are out now. You've played Outlast Trials before, haven't you?
Yes. I mean, if Outlast Trials is on your, if you've played Outlast, you have an idea of what this game is like. And Tina, I know, again, you like horror. I love horror. I'm a big fan, but I'm also like a total baby. Like I won't watch horror games alone or play horror games alone. I won't watch horror movies alone. I literally have I'll have my wife sit down with me to play Resident Evil 4 because I love it so much.
She's
but I'm too
saint.
Scared. Yeah, she is. What a wonderful, I love you, honey. But this is like a great game for those kind of people. If you're like me, where you like the horror experience, but you need a friend and you need a buddy, and it's 4-player co-op. You're running through trials and tests in the Outlast universe. I don't want to spoil the story too much because it kind of kicks you off right into it as to why you're there, why you're in this facility with other people. Very creepy. It does not lose any of its horror elements in a co-op setting, which is great. And there's even like a there's like a social hub. Like if you played a Destiny or a game with like a tower or something where people hang out, Outlast has a social hub where you get to decorate your room in like the insane asylum and you can see everyone running around in their sadistic outfits. It is so weird. I love it. Give Outlast Trials a shot if you like that genre at all. Very scary.
All right. You've talked me into maybe.
Get a bug.
That's available now.
Yeah.
And last but not least, WWE 2K24 launched this week, and our own resident expert, wrestling expert,
that's
aficionado,
right,
Malik Prince. Yeah, he's going to WrestleMania.
I know.
It's like, say hi to my mom. He's going back to Germany this year.
This guy.
I know. I was like, can I come with? And he's like, maybe. So he spoke with Brian Williams and Lionel Jinx, hyping us up for the launch of this high-profile wrestling game. Before we go to them, though, just want to remind you, we'll be coming back with some really cool new controllers. So you want to stick around for that, but Malik, take us into the ring.
What's going on, everybody? Malik here. Now, we're about to talk about the EST of professional game releases because they're always on top. But now it's time for them to finish their story as WWE 2K24 releases tomorrow, March 8th. Here to talk all about it is Lionel Jinx, who's the creative director of the WWE 2K series, and Brian Williams, who's the gameplay producer of the game. How's it going, guys?
Doing great.
Yeah, man, doing fantastic. This is always an exciting part of the year for us, you know?
Christmas
in March.
100%. I mean, this is the time that wrestling game fans like love to see. And again, I love how it's timed next to WrestleMania. So I feel like the general WWE hype is there. Now, the game comes out tomorrow. As I mentioned, some folks have had their chance to get their hands on it a little bit early, but this must be a really exciting time. You know, the tagline for the game is finish your story. And I feel like in some ways that kind of applies to the series in general. Can you talk about how exciting of a time this must be?
It's extremely exciting. I think when you think about our journey at Visual Concepts in 2K, you know, from taking this game over, like Brian Williams came over from THQ back in the 2K14 trade, you know, so like and seeing like, you know, the ups and downs of the franchise since then, and then the 2K20 release, say what it really was, but you know, our story and journey from that point on has, you know, been nothing short of a miracle, right? When you think about, like, you know, working on this franchise and the history of this franchise, and like, just like you said, the wrestling games, it, you know, it's synonymous with fun and mayhem and all of these things, and for a lot of reasons, you know, I think, you know, the fan base has been expecting more, right? Like, you know, ever since we took this over from THQ since 2K14, and wanting us to, you know, put that fun back in. And if you look at everything that we've done since 2K20, That's been our mission, is to breathe fun, breathe that mayhem. And, you know, we're finishing our story, but the story ain't over. We're going to keep going. Right. So it's exciting for us. We can't wait for people to get their hands on it, because, you know, in my opinion, this is the best one we've ever done.
Yeah, agreed. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's been 10 years now that from the THQ when VC took over the license, and 2K14 was also themed around WrestleMania. So it's, yeah, it's like it's very poetic in that way. 10 years ago, we handled WrestleMania. Fast forward 10, we're doing it again. And yeah, man, that's really exciting. I didn't even think about it that way. But like pro wrestling, you know, your story's never finished, right?
That's right.
You know, it's just keeps on going. But yeah, I love what you said there, Lionel, about that, because this is, I think, we are at a point now where I feel that the fan base had envisioned when DC did take over the franchise. And yeah, I feel the same as you, brother Lionel. Like, I think this game is fantastic, and I know I'm biased, but I also play these games. I don't just work on them. And I have a hell of fun playing this year's game. So I think everybody else will too.
I mean, and as players, I think that's what you want, are devs who are passionate about the game and who love, especially in this case, love professional wrestling as much as you all do. Now, you all mentioned WrestleMania. Now, we're just a few weeks away from the biggest WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 40. And you all had a massive task with this game. It was really about capturing some of those amazing moments from previous WrestleManias and really showcasing them in the showcase. Can you talk about kind of what was the decision about what moments to pick? It must not been an easy task at all.
I think that's one of the hardest things that we try to do every single year, outside of like figuring out the feature list. You're like, all right, showcase. And with, you know, trying to encapsulate 40 years of WrestleMania and look at every single match, every single superstar that was involved in that match, all the logistics that go into that, right? You're like, is this person available? Did we do this one already? And like, you know, you know, with this match, you know, even though it might have been like, you know, a main event, is it worthy of being in a showcase? Will it be fun to play? And so all of these things that we have to factor in when thinking about creating a great showcase list, that this year was no different. And if anything, like you said, it was even harder, because you're like, man, how do we not have a showcase without this match? And you're like, well, we don't have the rights to X superstar, or that person's in another federation somewhere else or another company. And you're like, all right. And so, you know, there's definitely things that we wanted to do that we couldn't just because of the logistics. But you look at the 21 matches that we put together, and it's hard to argue with any of them. And I know, Brian, you know, you were, you know, associated to that 2K14, 30 years of WrestleMania. And we, you know, we looked at that list as well, but, you know, we did, you know, there's something in there that you're like, man, we cannot exclude like Hogan Andre, right? Like, that's just, when you think of WrestleMania, that's one of the ones that you're like, all right, but there's a few that Brian and those guys did back in 14 that we wanted to do, which are like, man, all right, we, you know, just, there's so many that we wanted to do, but due to time, you know, we have like, I always tell people it takes like 9 months. It's like making a baby. You know, it takes 9 months to get this game out the door. And we just, you know, we couldn't do it. But again, I'm still happy with what we were able to pull out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just say, you know, it's a testament to WWE and their storied history and just the depth of them as a company, that even mitigating and, you know, kind of working through, you know, situations where, oh, we don't have the rights to this superstar or this, that, and the other, that we were still able to pull together 21 just magnificent matches through the course of 40 years of what they have done as the leaders in sports entertainment. I think that is just, I mean, honestly, kudos to them. They gave us a lot to work with. And sifting through all that is definitely a chore, but a good one, right? Where it's like, you want to do them all, right? You make sure every Mania is covered. And, you know, I know that Dino, the designer of Showcase, you know, he's very adamant about not wanting to, you know, redo a lot of the matches that were in 2K14. But as like Noah mentioned, I mean, some you just have to, right? I mean, Hogan Andre. I mean, but if you ask the layperson, a WrestleMania memory, whether they watch back then or never watched, they'll probably remember the fact that Andre, you know, Hogan slamming Andre the Giant. So that was a gimme.
I watched that one through the squiggly lines because we didn't have the pay-per-view. It was like, you know, it wasn't clear. I remember watching it through that.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like one of those benefits, and, you know, I always talk about these for games like this one that are telling the story from decades ago at this point, there's so many new fans who maybe weren't even alive to experience those moments. And the idea of being able to experience it through something you all create is like, it's got to be a super fulfilling moment. And so I cannot wait to see what's in there. I can't wait to see what made the cut. I'm sure people are going to be wanting, like you said, for some that didn't make the cut. But you know what? Wrestling fans, they've never been without an opinion. And so I'm sure you all are going to get to hear it, but it's going to be awesome to see what made it. I want to shift gears a little bit to talk about match types, because I think on top of superstars, what's the showcase? Another one is what are the new match types in the game? And so I would love, Brian, if you could answer, sure, like, what are some of the new ones that are coming in? What's your favorite? And maybe a few tips and tricks for those who are jumping in for the first time.
Oh, yeah, brother. Absolutely, man. So, you know, in 2K23, you know, we provided fans the long requested, long awaited war games. It was the first time that match had ever been in the franchise. And the team just hit a home run with it. For a match of that complexity and that many moving parts, like, they really did a phenomenal job. So for 2K24, you know, we upped the ante. I mean, you know, last year, what was it like now? It was even stronger. You could say this would 24, when it comes to match types, is like even hulkier. Because instead of not just one match type, we added four brand new match types. Two that are making their franchise debuts, and the ambulance match and the casket match. Two match types, one-on-one, where the objective is to basically put your opponent in the object, whether it's the casket or put him in the back of the ambulance and, you know, shut the doors on him. We've also are bringing back a special guest referee, which is, you know, probably outside, or it might be actually the most fan requested match type, going back to maybe like 2K14 and those generations of video games. So that makes a triumphant return with some great new additions. The gauntlet match. Now, everything we've done this year is fantastic. The gauntlet match, you asked my favorite, it's that. I love the gauntlet match because there's three versions of it. There's a traditional where, you know, one person starts and just, you know, you just keep, you know, trying to win until you get through all the opponents. There's an eliminator style one, which has the multi-person gauntlet. And my favorite, the turmoil, is one superstar against a team that's just out to get them. And it's as little as four superstars and as many as 30. And I love a challenge. And so the turmoil is probably my favorite new addition this year.
Nice. How about you, Lionel?
So up until last week, turmoil was my favorite as well. It's like Brian, I love a challenge. And I was cranking up the legend difficulty. And I'm looking for that challenge. And going, you know, one, you know, starting at one, trying to last all the way to 30. I still haven't done it. And in my old age, I can't do that to my heart. And I'm just like, no, I gotta stop. So I've switched over to Eliminator. It's so much fun because it's like Royal Rumble, but with the chaos of, you know, Extreme Rules match, because it's like, yeah, like there's up to eight people in a ring at once, and you're just running around. So it's not throwing anyone over the top rope. It's just a free for all. And someone new's coming down the ramp. Someone like, you'll see something like the AI go and like stop them and like fight them on the stage. And I'm like in the ring and I'm like, it's just like, it's so much fun. I'm like, all right, I think that's my new favorite.
Oh man, you sold me on that. I think it's my new favorite too.
But this is what I love, you know. Talking about my shirt, it says WWE 2K24, a community day, which is an event that I attended with y'all, and it was so great to see the community and the passion and the discussion like this, where people were talking about, man, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. It's almost uniquely WWE because not only is it sports, but it's sports entertainment. It's all about having that fun, and there's nothing more entertaining than a casket match or a gauntlet match, or even, of course, an ambulance match, which is so over the top. It wouldn't happen in any other place besides WWE. Now, I want to go to a little bit to talk about MyRise. So there are two new MyRise experiences for players to enjoy. We have Unleash and Undisputed. Can you tell us a little bit about that mode in general, but then what players can expect from each of those? I'll start with you, Lionel.
Yeah. So both, you know, they're two completely different modes, right? Where in Undisputed, you're basically trying to become the new Roman Reigns, right? Because he has vacated his championship. It's in abeyance, right? And so it kind of starts from there where, you know, Roman kind of lets you have it because he doesn't want Cody to finish his story. You know, so you're like, mm-hmm. all right, and it goes from there. And that roller coaster ride of like trying to, you know, hold on to that championship, trying to last as long as Roman Reigns is, you know, reign, pun intended, of the WWE champion, Universal champion, like in the ups and downs of having to deal with the Miz and form your own, like, you know, faction. Like it's so fun and intense in the star power that we're bringing, not only on Undisputed, but Unleashed as well. With like getting like Roman Reigns to do voiceover, Becky, like, and you know, Woods, like, it's just so good. Like, I feel like, I know I'm gonna keep saying this, it's the best one we've ever done. It is like seeing the bump, like, you know, like, you know, we have Kayla and Byron like hosting the bump on in our video game, right? And
you're so cool.
It's so cool. You're like, it's those things where, you know, I look back a few years ago, we used to have to do like generic brand this and, you know, generic thing this. And you're just like, no, now we actually have sponsors and we have like Slim Jims in the game. Right. You know, so it's just like, you know, I feel like we're on that precipice of, I came from the NBA team. Like when, you know, we were like heading into like that pop culture territory and not just being a basketball game. You're like, no, we're heading in a totally different direction. And we're kind of on that same trajectory, I feel like, with WWE 2K24, where you're like, yeah, we have real products in the game. It's no longer like generic thing, you know? So, and, you know, I also want to touch on Unleashed. You start off as a co-owner of one of those like fictional brands, but then quickly get recruited by William Regal to join the WWE, and you start your journey from there, and you have like beef with Shotzi and then you meet up with Alexa and like gain supernatural powers if you choose to go down that path, right? So like it's some of that stuff we're talking about, breathing that fun, and you said it too, that WWE thing where you couldn't really get away with that in professional sports, but in sports entertainment it makes complete sense, you know. Like I'm levitating above the stage. Yes, that makes sense in wrestling, right? Sting used to drop from the ceiling, like on a rope. Like those are the things that I think wrestling fans will give you a pass on and actually, you know, applaud you for doing it.
Yeah, the giant 100%. Sandbox, the giant sandbox of just awesomeness, pro wrestling. 100%. Well, speaking of sandbox, you know, one of the things that we see in a lot of these sort of unbelievable but believable situations are weapons. And now I hear you all have added new throwable weapons and interactive environment elements. And so, Brian, tell us a little bit about what fans can expect and maybe, of course, what's your favorite weapon to use?
Yeah, so the return of throwables. I think, you know, this was one of those things that, you know, we had during pre-production of 2K24, you know, we had tossed out the idea of bringing this back because I'm an old head. So for those who aren't aware, back in SmackDown versus Raw 2011, we had throwable weapons. It worked in the sense that you press the button and it, you know, you could throw something. The targeting the homie wasn't all that great. So it kind of got, you know, pulled from the game, but it's back. And brother, it is fantastic. It completely changes the paradigm of how one goes into a hardcore, a no disqualification, you know, a match where anything goes, right? Because not only do you have to account for, you know, your opponents that are in front of you and what they're holding in their hands, but you also have to keep your head in the swivel and watch out for things that are thrown your way when you're fighting somebody else. And any weapon that you're holding can now be thrown, with the exception of, I believe, the championship titles. But water bottles that are on the announce table, the kendo stick, the chairs, we have Zelina Vega's chancla, her slipper, is a new weapon in the game. The microphone,
nice.
And I'll just say, you know, one of my favorites. My favorite is any weapon that I can throw that, you know, beam somebody upside the head, because the sell and the reaction that they perform just never gets old. Which goes into the backstage, you know, because again, there's the backstage environment. Of course, that's an anything goes situation, and we actually expanded that this year to include multiplayer support. We've got a new elevator that you can use to take yourself from floor one to floor two and vice versa. Just a lot of cool bells and whistles. And like I said, you know, vending machines, and with the vending machine comes cans and bottles of water to be chucked at your opponents. It's really, really fun. And, you know, the designers, Derek, he did a really good job of tuning the stamina. Cause you know, the backstage environment is pretty large and there's a lot of running, a lot of dragging. And so stamina has been adjusted accordingly. So as you're playing, you won't see your characters get winded you know, 3 or 4 minutes into the match, you know, just to kind of enhance and elevate the fun factor of it. So it's one of my favorite new improvements to the game this year, throwables. And, you know, of course, all the cool things we did with the backstage area, breakable glass. I mean, yeah, it's a sandbox of violence.
Yeah, which is what people want. And I got to say, like, it's great that you brought it back. As you were talking about it, it did remind me of those SmackDown game days where, like, you could play in, like, Times Square and get hit by a car. So it's not quite as over the top as that, because those moments are great. But it is integral to the WWE experience. It's like, I hate you so much, I'm going to take you backstage and throw a kendo stick in your face. Like, right. It is awesome. So I can't wait to see some of those matches with that end up a little bit more violent than the other ones. But, you know, so Lionel, as we round up this interview, you mentioned at the top, even though the tagline is finish your story, you all are just getting started. So now that we're launching tomorrow on Xbox, I'm sure that you all have a great lineup down the line of DLC coming through. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying this. I think it's our best DLC ever, right? Like, yeah, we announced it. Everyone was like, this is the best one. And it's hard to argue, right? Like, you look at, you know, what we're starting off with like ECW, and then, you know, getting CM Punk, right? The return of CM Punk into the game, and then going into, like, you know, some of the 80s, and then get into the 90s with the, like, or late 90s with WCW, the WCW pack, and ending it strong with some of the current, you know, superstars that we're offering, like Jade, you know. So there's so much for everyone. And then, you know, I can't leave out Post Malone, right? Like, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised, not only see how good he looks in our game. Like, I, there's always the question, like, who's the best looking character in the game? I saw his face scan the other day, and I was like, I think that's the best one. Like, I was just like, oh, wow. My God. Like I was looking at it. It was like, because it was Randy Orton. We rescanned Randy Orton this year. And I was just like, oh, I think he's the best looking one now, because there's so much detail in his face. And then I thought Post Malone. I was like, I think he's our best looking kid, because he has the tattoos and everything. He just looks so interesting in his hair with the little mullet thing. And I was just like, he's probably the best looking character. And then Brian Williams also had a hand in his move set and making sure that, you know, he had a specific list of what he wanted his character to, how he wanted to behave in the game. And Brian Williams went to town with the animators and the move set guys.
Yeah, it was fun. He provided us with being Post Malone, provided us with some videos describing how he'd like his character to behave in the ring, taunts, moves. And as he's explaining it, just the enthusiasm, it just came across like this. Like, he is a fan. And I knew that, you know, 2 or 3 minutes into him discussing how he wanted his character to be. And so I took all that information and I, you know, curated this moveset for him, which I'm hoping he digs, because obviously if he wants any changes, we are here to oblige. But yeah, it's cool. And honestly, like, this interview is informative for me, because I was not aware of how great his model is coming along. So I'm going to have to take a look at him after this.
I'll send you a link.
Because, I mean, I know how much, you know, Randy Orton, yeah, like you said, like, his face scan, his likeness is just, I mean, forget about it. So if you're saying that Post is on that level, it's like, oh, man. Yeah, it's exciting times. And I do agree with you, Lino, that, yeah, look, if it's true, it's true. This is the best DLC that we've done in a long time. I mean, between Punk, the mix of the new stars and with the old. I mean, I'm excited for Punk. I'm really excited for the great Muta. Jay Cargill coming down the line. DDP, it's stacked. It really is.
We got Honky Tonk Man.
Honky Tonk Man, yeah.
The Iron Sheik. Someone for everyone. Yeah. Someone for everyone. Right? Like, I swear. Getting to hear that Post Malone's in the game, I feel like my dream matchup is now like a Texas battle between him and Undertaker. You know, who would win, Post Malone or Undertaker? I guess we'll find out. And the only way to find out is with WWE 2K24. Lionel and Brian, thank you so much for stopping by and joining us, talking about the game. As I mentioned at the top of the segment, the game is out tomorrow, March 8th. So you don't have much time to wait. So jump in there, Lionel, Brian, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Lionel and Brian. And Malik was very in his element right there.
Absolutely.
He was the right person for the job. Mm-hmm. Ethan, I know you thought you were here because you're the right person for the job, but actually we invited you because we knew you were going to bring stuff.
Yeah, and, I get it. I know my role.
I think it's just very important that he knew the score.
No,
you
know?
You're doing great. Like, better, I was just like, bring the controllers and you just didn't leave.
I like you because you're a straight shooter. So thank this you. Is great. Yes. Yeah, I take what I can get.
Says no one who's ever played with me in a competitive shooter, by the way. All right, so what do you got here? Where do we want to start?
Let's start with we got a couple controllers to show off today. Let's start with the one from Xbox Design Labs. You want to grab that for me, Kelly?
Do not touch that. We have standards here on the show.
It's a long these are standing tradition.
No Dorito dust on those.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, get those on there before you handle this beautiful Fallout themed controller that is just a lovely tribute to our lovely boy Vault Boy.
Would you say
and
it's
they're
special?
Like Kelly size too. They're so tiny.
I would say it's very special. I would say it's extremely special. And in fact, every little character on this controller is a unique, special ability in the game. Or it's, you know, if you played Fallout, you know that every ability has a Vault Boy tied to it, be it intelligence, ooh, strength, perception, what have you. And they're all
charisma,
Riz.
Riz.
Yeah, I don't know special the artist. Error. Yeah, special. Ooh, nice. Yep, get those joysticks working. This? Nice. This is the pink one, I believe. Now, this comes in many different colors. But like we said, this was a design with a collage of some of the most iconic Vault Boys. I actually have a Vault Boy shrine at my house, so I might have to cop one
really?
Of these. I do. Yeah, I love Fallout. It's one of my favorite games, and
so beautiful.
Yeah,
show's coming up soon. I'm very excited.
It looks so good.
Oh, and the Jones Soda month. Collab. Oh my god,
Jones Soda. Again.
I know. It's like a straight shot to the '90s kid. You know what I mean?
Wait, like Nuka Cola?
I think so, right? I think that Jones like tweeted something where they had.
I'm
going to
look that up while you tell us more about this controller, because you can get this controller. Right? This is not.
Yes, this is available right now at Xbox Design Labs, and you can customize it. So maybe your favorite faction is the Brotherhood of Steel, so you can get things that embody colors that embody that faction, right? Like there's like a Vault Boy one. There's a few options for you, a variety of button styles, but they're all kind of around the Fallout theme. Obviously, iconic in blue and yellow, reminiscent of the vaults. The silver and gray, as I said, represents the Brotherhood of Steel. And really any other color combination that represents your favorites, right? You could go for the railroad, go for whoever you want, you know?
Go for
the,
whatever
the
you
academy,
want.
The academy, you know, what,
do
what
you,
have you.
Do you, boo-boo.
Yeah. Now,
I like this combo of colors, whoever created this specific one.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for pink. I didn't
fan.
Work on this one, but.
Pink
but
lavender, and you got that like flash of a little like teal kind of turquoise blue. In
show
front.
The metallic triggers. Give them some love.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice. Yeah, let's tip that towards the camp.
Look my
at
goodness.
That.
It's a good
beautiful.
Combo.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, so this is available. If you're a Fallout fan, don't sleep on this controller. It is gorgeous.
I feel my endurance getting stronger by the second.
That's the Ian special.
That was just saying, can we name all the special skills, I guess?
So special's an
attributes.
Acronym.
Attributes.
Yes.
Yeah. Attributes.
That's
yes.
a good call out. So special. So we start with S.
Strength.
Right. P.
Perseverance.
Close.
Good.
Close.
Also good to have.
Like perception. Yes. Knowing that, yes.
Perception.
Okay.
E for Ethan.
Yeah.
I
don't actually know what E is.
I want to say endurance.
Endurance. That's got that's 100% it.
Yep.
Endurance. How do you spell special? C. Charisma.
Charisma.
I.
Intelligence.
A. Agility.
Agility. Great.
And L.
Love. Linguistics.
Limberness.
No, it's all close. It's luck. It's luck.
Luck. Of course, yes.
Actually, all of those, not bad, though. Not bad. So there you have
you
it.
You need that's, all of those things.
Like, you do. You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, every one of us has a set number
like,
of those
I like
things.
Love. Can we change it? I like your suggestion.
Yeah.
It's almost February 14th.
Like. Yeah.
You were right, by the way. So Nuka-Cola Victory Cola is the new one from Jones Soda. Apparently, they had done a different one previously.
Yeah.
And it is a peach mango flavor. So
I actually love that.
Maybe rad proof clearly in the future. And that's
what
available.
Color?
Now.
Don't try that. But
it's a very like imagine very your mind orange-y. Peach mango, it's that color.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
yes. I feel like their one before
it's
was
the
bright blue.
Orange. It's neither peach or mango. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
Also separately, I think the Fallout show just released the first like stills, like the posters, you know, of many of the main characters. They're so awesome. They're in like the Fallout art style. Go check those out. They're great phone backgrounds if you're excited for I'm a Walton Goggins fan. I'll watch anything he's in. So I'm very hyped for Fallout.
I'm sure Todd watches the show. So
I'm sure. Todd, it's gonna be great. Now we got another controller to show
who
off.
Who wants to open these?
Who wants to touch? Who wants to?
Wait,
get the gloves.
Tina, I got more gloves for you. Also new.
any, you know, cheesy snacks before this.
I saw you in the green room. You're eating.
I don't like the mime vibe.
More Doritos, probably.
Okay, so this is the Victrix BFG wireless controller. What does BFG stand for, you may ask?
I think I know one of them.
I'm going to let you, it stands for whatever you want it to stand for. I'm not going to get in trouble on this show. This is pretty cool because recently Designed for Xbox started releasing wireless controllers. And this is one of our first ones. And so this thing is robust, right? It's going to have many of the features you're used to on an Elite controller. And then
it smells like a new case.
Yeah, it probably is.
That's a nice smell.
No, legitimately, it is emanating.
Nice. Yeah. Let's get that in a car scent or so, or to hang in my car. That's what I want.
Yeah, a little air freshener.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Car scent.
This thing has four programmable buttons on the back. It's got Hall Effect triggers. If you know anything about Hall Effect, like that is the way to go when it comes to sticks and triggers. They are very nice.
Is that just its docking?
That is, let me see this. I am
not a hardware professional, if anyone could not
these
tell.
These are nice. Ethan is here. Oh my gosh, these are the trigger locks.
Okay. Ooh,
you don't have gloves on. We have to burn that one.
No! Yeah, so these will lock your triggers. So if you need your little hair triggers. And the cool thing about that is it's very modular too. So if you don't like where the stick is, if you want both sticks low, you can switch those out. Maybe you're into fighting games. I know it's on the front. Is it the front of the box or the side of the box here?
I think we might have a second one in there too.
Oh, we've got the close-up here too.
Yeah.
You open that for me? It might be on there. But you can swap it out for the six-button cover for fighting games.
So you could like put these closer together?
Yes.
Like you could.
Yeah, exactly. Those all kind of pop out, fully modular, which is nice. So, you know, set it up how you want it to be. And based on the games, like multiple joysticks to choose from, multiple D-pads to choose from. This thing is really just a nice piece of hardware. It's really going to fulfill or hit any of those kind of needs you have as a gamer.
Oh, yeah. So you can put in essentially like a six-button controller.
Right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Little fight stick. Yeah.
I prefer to play fighting games with a controller as opposed to a fight stick.
Then you love it.
But then you only have the four buttons. So usually if I'm playing Street Fighter, I take the medium attack and I put it on the triggers. I use those less than heavy and light. So
now
that brings me back to the Sega Genesis six-button controller days.
For those fighting game fans or like anyone that's trying to get competitive with this thing, obviously it's wireless. It's also Bluetooth, so you can play it with your mobile on the go. You can play it on your PC, but it does come with a cable as well if you're trying to plug in because you don't want any latency. You're trying to sweat it out in a tournament setting, you know, if you're at your local fighting tournament or what have you.
Did you lock those triggers?
She locked
we're just
thing.
Having fun with it now. Yeah. Sorry.
It's very, yeah. Where's like
now
the
we're
mic?
Just like smelling them.
Yeah,
clicking the buttons.
It's the ASMR.
It does have that new controller smell.
Multiple. It's got the tool for tightening in there as well. Like this is if you're looking to kind of ball out with your controller, this is a nice piece of hardware.
This is the most innovative thing I've ever seen.
Victrix makes some really cool stuff. Like their headsets are awesome. They're just a really nice brand. Yeah, big shout out to Victrix and everyone on the Xbox and the Victrix side that worked on this device. It is rad.
It's a shame they only sent one of them over here.
Well, there's
it's
two.
You're not really following along here, Ethan. Gotta raise that eye stat.
It's a shame we never saw any of them at all.
Lost in shipping.
Yeah, but these things are great.
Well, we figure out exactly what we're probably not going to be able to take home. Let's talk about what you're going to be able to take home because it is FreeCode Friday time. You know how it works. All you got to do is head on over to twitter.com/XboxWire tomorrow. That is Friday at noon Pacific. And you just have to, between noon and 2 on March 8th, answer this question and we will randomly select 5 folks and they will actually get a copy of WWE 2K24. It is random, but the question you've got to answer is this one. What would be your pro wrestling entrance song? Who would want to go first?
Love is a Battlefield, Pat Benatar.
Wow. How does that one start? Is that a strong start?
It's almost a slower. It's a slower build. You know, you can kind of come out like, I don't want to get a intro. I can't hum it, right?
See, you need the one where if like The Rock is monologuing and then they hear the first like note, like everyone goes, oh, and then you run in with a chair.
You're telling me everybody doesn't know Love is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar in the first note. I don't know.
I mean, maybe Barracuda might be more of a Pat Benatar banger.
No, that's hard. That's hard. Barracuda's hard, man.
Yeah. Mm. But you would know it.
Like, you could come in on the chorus.
That's true. Just screaming at the top of my lungs.
The Ethan remix.
Kelly, do you have an entrance song? You've had all 5 seconds to think about it.
Yeah. I had one, but I'm changing it.
Okay.
And it's going to be Taylor Swift, Look What You Made Me Do.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Would it be a certain part? Would it be like the, oh, she's dead? Or like, where do you come in?
That would be a really good one.
That would be powerful.
Because she's dead. And then it's like, ooh. And then I like shut down. But even like the beginning is really good, where it's just like the like slow kind of like, doo, doo, doo. Ooh. And so...
Yeah, you could do some really cool stuff with the lights in the stadium.
Yeah, like
sometimes I wonder how much you two have watched wrestling because you got to come in with that. You got to go right and strong.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing like a black snake leotard because it's Reputation. Kelly's
extra
version
here, by the way.
Yeah, for real.
I put more thought into the outfit than the actual song.
I want to know yours if you're throwing so much shade on ours.
What do you have, Jeff? That's so much better.
Let me look through my Spotify playlist. Song actually I have in my head right now, which I think would be really good for this, is Easy by Le Sserafim. Oh. Like, I've had this song in my head like all freaking week.
I don't know that one.
See? Yeah, all right. So you can't challenge me if you haven't heard it. I don't know if that's what really represents me the most, but it has like a really great beat. So it just comes right on in. So we'll go with that one.
Okay, nice.
I see the energy coming in. Honestly, I'd have to like deep dive into my Spotify to truly pick one because you sprung this on us. But be going with my horror theme, because it was honestly between the joke of like something Celine Dion and like, well, we've been talking about horror games, so let me go in that direction. If you guys have seen 28 Days Later, like the original.
I know where you're going.
The
with
like
this.
Soundtrack song. I think it's called In the House in a Heartbeat or something like that. Ooh. And it is like just incredibly intense.
The one where it really builds like towards the end.
Exactly.
You have great taste.
So I think, thank you. I think it might come up like right towards the end of that build because you do need that intensity for WWE.
You do.
Like,
okay. That's it. That I appreciate the thought that went into that. That's
in the house in a heartbeat.
In the house in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you should look that up. It's a fantastic
soundtrack.
It's a great
song. I was obsessed with it.
What a film.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch
that.
Anyway, what we think doesn't matter, what you think does matter. So again, on Friday, March 8th at noon, between noon and 2, answer that question. What will be your pro wrestling entrance song? That is a reply to the tweet you will see on twitter.com/XboxWire. And we will select 5 winners to win WWE 2K24. Kelly, Ethan, thanks so much for joining us. Any final parting thoughts here?
Ooh.
Use that I or the C. Use your
What's
charisma.
What's a thought?
Yes.
Oh, use the C?
Yes.
Play Sea of Thieves on Xbox Game Pass.
That was the I. Use your intelligence on that one.
Nice. Good plug.
Yeah.
I like it. Everybody love one another. Call your mom for Women's History Month. You know, you said that earlier. That's a great reminder.
Yeah.
I stole yours, but I'm co-opting.
Or don't, if you don't want to. No pressure.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Anytime. Maybe we'll have them back. I think they passed the audition.
They
really did. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Tina, any last thoughts?
Just let me know what you think about Partner Preview. Mm. We're really excited to put that together and really excited that people were excited that we did another one so quickly after last October. Yeah. So hoping to do more of those.
All right. And I would just say, if you're watching this when it first comes out, please watch the Towerborn stream at 2 p.m. Pacific the Capcom stream at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to keep you busy today. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, and we'll see you next week.